look, it's the end of the world, right? As we know it anyways. But listen, you don't have to be a pig just because it's the end of the world. Yes, you don't have to squeeze into a bathing suit this summer. Good for you. But the fact of the matter is you need to be healthy if you want to survive the coronavirus, okay? NTT Nutrition can do that for you. It's good food, it's good for you, and it's delivered right to your door. You can't go to the grocery store. This is a perfect time to try NTT Fitness and NTT Nutrition. And if you use my code LEVELUP15, you can get 15% off your first order. NTTFitness.com, LEVELUP15. Let's start the show.
Beach, drive, drop, car, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, asshole. Eat cum and try ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you are listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Coons. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at home_made_man. I got on a bunch of fights on there this week. It's hard to hold your tongue sometimes, or your fingertips. You just can't help yourself sometimes. I really wish I could. I wish I did not care as much as I do about certain things. Most things I couldn't care less about. There are a few things. I just like justice. I'm a justice person. I believe that everybody should have their day. Be treated fairly. And most people are not, unfortunately. And there's a few people who get to determine what fair is. And that's not fair, damn it. So we'll talk about that in a second. Later on, we got a clip from Stay Woke where we're talking about Joey Biden. Joseph Biden, the Democratic candidate for president, had some big allegations thrown against him this week, and he addressed them on cable news, and it did not go well, as I'm sure you can imagine. Did not go well, but Anna and I are going to talk about that a little later. And this week is big. We got we're going to start phase one. Phase one of opening the state of Florida back up after the safer at home orders were put into effect, and now these are starting to expire on May 1st. The governor has decided to let those expire, not renew those. Other places in the country have decided to stay on lockdown. I know Ohio was one that is going to stay on lockdown through, I believe, to Memorial Day, I believe. And I don't know what the right answer is. I'm so glad I don't have to make these decisions. Holy crap. Can you imagine having that? Because it is a big risk. Like, I'm optimistic. I'm obviously excited, as I'm sure a lot of you are too, that, wow, maybe we're finally going to start to get back to normal after, God, 6 weeks of weirdness that nobody has ever experienced before. And now we're kind of, I don't know, we're just coming to the end, or at least some sort of light at the tunnel, you know, which is It gives you optimism. Like, oh my God, hopefully this will be over soon. And it's not. Like, we're really probably realistically not even close. This is going to continue throughout probably the whole year, if not longer. There'll be different phases of this. But there is a risk, of course, of, you know, potentially this being a bad move. And, you know, phase one includes the beaches being back open, parks. Restaurants are going to begin to open at about 25% capacity. And I know I had read an article about some of the owners of these restaurants not knowing if it's worth it to open it, and which is totally valid. Is it worth it to open up if they can only seat 25% of the people, get 25% of the business? Probably not, for realistically, for a lot of these restaurants, especially if they are dine-in only and they don't have any carry-out options. It probably doesn't make sense for them to reopen. So I don't know. It is exciting, though. It'd be nice to just have those, just saying, like, the stay-at-home order is not there anymore. Like, that's almost like it feels like a weight is off your chest. But is it a good move? Again, I have no idea. And I'm so glad I don't have to make governor came out, Governor DeSantis came out with all these charts to see, oh, this is good. And people are going, well, I don't understand that, though. Doesn't make sense. And also, there is such a political deep divide with if we should open or not. That's where it came. I've talked about it the past few weeks, but holy cow, has the Red Sea parted with this whole thing. If you're on the right, you want the economy to open immediately. Most of those people, anyway, the extreme ones. And then on the extreme ones, they want us to be completely locked down. On the left, just don't, you know, open anything. Don't go out of your house. And they have very strong opinions on that. And I don't like when you assume what's in people's hearts and minds, because you can't know that. And I know people do that, but I'm a human being and I'm a hypocrite also from time to time. So I get the feeling, my gut tells me that there's people out there, and I don't know what the percentage is of people like this out there, but I get the feeling that they want this to fail. They want the stay-at-home order that has been, that has expired. They want people to go out and they want people to get sick just so they can say, see, I told you so. Now we're screwed. If only my person that I wanted in office was there right now, this would have never have happened. I told you so. And they would rather that than have it succeed and we could get back to life as normal. We could, you know, live our lives. But they would rather be right and rather have their person, their tribe in power than to actually have this work out. So obviously I'm optimistic about this. I'm concerned about it too, as I'm sure everybody is. And I was curious about this because my doctor friend, I saw his Instagram posts and he was like, oh, this is a terrible idea. You know? And I know he's a progressive individual who lies on the left and was an Elizabeth Warren fan. So I go, hey, just out of curiosity, are you thinking this is a bad idea because you're a doctor or because of your politics? And he was, I got to say, he was very honest about it. He goes, well, I think both. I said, okay, I guess fair enough. But it's weird, like, you'll see information that goes around, like, people have different information. And, of course, I'm going to go by what the science says. I think everybody's kind of doing that. But if it's science they don't like, they tend to pull back from that. They don't like those numbers if it doesn't say what their confirmation bias says. And there was a video this week that went viral that YouTube took down. YouTube has taken the stance of, we are going to remove any video from our platform that does not say what the World Health Organization is saying. That's a bold move. World Health Organization is in some S right now for perhaps helping cover up this virus, which I'm going to talk about that in a second too, because that's pretty much confirmed at this point. So, yeah, and I understand what YouTube is doing. They want to not spread disinformation. And it's hard to, even with their algorithms and everything, it's got to be hard for them to control what goes on that platform. It's a huge platform. So let me be fair to YouTube. I don't think they should be censoring speech, but I also, at least I understand why they're doing it. Hopefully they can find a better way to do some of this stuff, but a video went viral. It was two California doctors who are real doctors. They own some of the biggest, I think it's like walk-in clinics in California. They own a chain of them. And they held some sort of conference, press conference, where they went over the numbers of the coronavirus so far, and in their opinion, thought that maybe these stay-at-home orders were going too far, and they just gave numbers. They didn't, you know, say it was a government conspiracy, like it wasn't tinfoil hat stuff. They just gave the numbers. I watched it and didn't find anything offensive about it. Left dubious, of course, wanting to learn more. But certainly didn't write it off and discount it just because it's something else from what, the mainstream press is playing. And it got a bunch of views, and then I saw this dude that I work with at, I never see him, but he works at the radio station, and he was on a rampage on Facebook. Not particularly a bright guy. I would say a midwit, I would describe him as. He's obviously curious and interested in this stuff, but doesn't examine anything, doesn't look beyond whatever the popular opinion on something is. And he was going on a rampage because, hey, this is fake, this video, you dummies, this is fake because it was Alex Jones played it. It was InfoWars. Let me tell you what InfoWars is. And then he goes to the Wikipedia that's just ravaged by people that get to edit it freely. And then in my mind, I go, uh-oh, I didn't share InfoWars stuff, did I? I didn't know it was InfoWars, Alex Jones. I thought it was just two doctors. So I immediately panicked and go, uh-oh, am I the dummy here? What did I do? And then I looked it up. No, it's not InfoWars. Alex Jones played it on his show. That doesn't mean that everything that he plays is incorrect. That's guilt by association fallacy. And we played it on Stay Woke, Anna and I. So are we, by proxy, since Alex Jones also played it, are we completely fake now too? These people don't think anything through. And I was like, uh-oh, I'm going to say something. I don't know what I like, I could feel the demons coming out of my fingertips. And I finally stopped myself. And luckily, I checked the comments, and some people were saying basically what I just said, that he just played it on his show. It doesn't mean it's InfoWars. So I let that go. That's just, you don't want to get involved with people. But then at the same time, it's like, why do these people get to say whatever they want? And you know, you got to be scared to rebut. If it's you get called a lunatic. I mean, I talked about Tom Cotton weeks ago. That's a senator from Arkansas who said, hey, maybe we shouldn't just take the official story that China's given out, that it spread from a market. Maybe we should just look into it a little bit. And he got smeared and called a conspiracy theorist for that. Just for daring to question what the press was saying. I don't know why the press was so sure of this all. Like, how do you know that? How do you know that it just came from a wet market in Wuhan? They were so quick to just run with that and then condemn anybody who dared to question that as a lunatic. Not only wrong, but a conspiracy theorist loon. That's not okay, man. And so I go, look, we should be able to say stuff. It doesn't matter if people disagree with it. It's not only that you're wrong, but you're wicked and you're evil. Yeah, screw you. I'm not doing that anymore. And this story comes out this morning. I wasn't even planning on talking about this, but New York Post, May 2nd, 8:43 a.m., China lied about the origin of the coronavirus, leaked intelligence report says. And this was a story immediately that I had read on these conspiracy websites from these lunatics. It just made more sense that it would come from a virology clinic than a wet market. right? I mean, I know that these viruses have come from them in the past, these markets where there's animals and people and transmission happens, but wouldn't you at least go, huh, well, that's interesting that less than a mile away there was a massive clinic where they were studying coronaviruses? Just as a curious party. A damning dossier leaked from the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance claims that China lied to the world about a human-to-human transmission of the virus, disappeared whistleblowers, and refused to hand over virus samples so the West could make a vaccine. The bombshell 15-page research document also indicated the virus was leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, a claim initially dismissed as a conspiracy theory because Chinese officials insisted that the virus came from local wet markets, according to the Australian Daily Telegraph. At the same time, a senior intelligence source told Fox that while most intelligence agencies believe that COVID-19 originated in the Wuhan lab, it was thought to have been released accidentally. The report from the Intelligence Sharing Alliance of the five leading English-speaking countries, the US, UK, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, called viruses shady handling and a virus, an assault on international transparency. The paper described how China downplayed the outbreak around the world while widely scrambling to bury all traces of the disease at home, including bleaching wet market stalls, censoring the growing evidence of asymptomatic carriers of the virus, and stonewalling sample requests from other countries. Beijing stated censoring search engines as early as December to stop the internet surfing related to the virus, according to the report. The WHO went along with China's claims and also denied human-to-human transmission of the virus despite concern from neighboring countries. Intelligence gathering showed that China had evidence of human-to-human transmission from early December, but continued to deny the spread until January 20th. The document pointed out Canada imposed travel bans on people traveling throughout the nation, but continued to tell the rest of the world... Oh, no, sorry. The document pointed out that China imposed travel bans on people traveling throughout the nation, but continued to tell the rest of the world that travel bans were unnecessary. And also pushed the idea that not only was it not necessary, but it was, in fact, racist, which a lot of our press just ran with because they love to do that stuff. I mean, at what point do you question? I mean, do you just... let them continue to do this stuff? For what? Like, don't you want the truth? Don't you want to get to what's actually going on here? Blame the right people? I feel so bad people stuck in these loops of just blaming their political adversary. 50% of the population. That's a lot of enemies to have, man. It's, very frustrating. So I'm assuming that there'll be retractions and apologies written to Tom Cotton and other people who were questioning perhaps the initial story. And I think we can all hold our breath for that, and they will do so immediately. And some of them probably will, but the problem is even if they run those retractions, nobody's going to see them. Right? I mean... once it's out there, it's out there. The initial story gets thousands and thousands of retweets on Twitter, and then the correction gets 300. That's just the way it goes. And that's why they do it. Because not only they do, this is all about clicks and ad revenue. So if they're pissing you off, you're going to click the story. They don't care if you read it or not. They're still going to get the ad revenue for this. And it's an unfortunate side of that business. And I think that's why corporate media and corporate press, including radio, it's going to end up going by the wayside at a certain point, unless it has some sort of other way to make money, which it doesn't. I got crap for because the Times was using, now that the U.S. has tested more people for coronavirus than anyone in the world, now they're using per capita, which is a better indicator, by the way. Per capita is a better measurement than just overall numbers. But they never, I never see them use that number. Can you imagine them using, for example, per capita for Islamic terrorism in America? Holy hell, it would never happen. Never happen. And I got crap from this dude who's reading my stuff and listening to my stuff for a long time. and I was criticizing the Times, and I referred to them as corporate press. Yeah, I know that they're a non-for-profit, but they still have a corporate structure, and they're still in that they lean pretty far left. Because I read their paper. I don't care. That's fine. You know, you're obviously going to have your leanings. But I see how they write about stuff, and they're tricky. And using that per capita measurement there is a way, it's a framing tool. It's a way to persuade you. They usually always use overall when it's convenient. And when it's not convenient anymore, then they use per capita. And that was the biggest thing. I've never seen them do that. So I just pointed that out, and then I got crap from him because I work for a corporate media. Yeah, but I'm not press. And the Bone is pretty good about not telling us what I can and can't say. There are some like, for example, they were saying, hey, don't be posted on your social media that you're out and about, you know, if we're under stay-at-home orders. You shouldn't be doing that. Now, I wasn't doing that anyways, but I understand why they are saying that, like, don't post it. We can't be hypocrites here. We need to be promoting the social distancing, et cetera, et cetera. But they're pretty good. Like, the Bone is commentary. It's hot talk. It's not, I'm not a journalist. I'm not telling you what the news is. I'm just telling you how I feel about it, which is great. Thank God. Because I couldn't do that job. That's another job I wouldn't want. I don't know how those people sleep at night, these journalists. I got in a fight with that freaking jackass, Colin Wolf from Creative Loafing. Now, Creative Loafing is what it is. But I read Creative Loafing because they do a great job covering arts and culture in Tampa Bay. But they're political, right? I mean, they're hacks, man. I mean, and when it comes to anything in politics, they are complete, utter hacks. This dude, Colin Wolf, writes for them. He's terrible. And I shouldn't, because I, like, they're very upfront with what they are. Like, in their defense, they're like, yeah, I'm a progressive socialist, you know, whatever. But they're just not fair. And, you know, when I'm reading about the newest restaurant and then I come across this douche's article, it gets me mad. Because it's a justice thing. Like, it's not fair. And he covered this protest that happened, people wanting to reopen the state. And he was upset because WFLA didn't cover, he was struggling to understand the point of covering the reopen protests if they're not going to mention the groups who organize them. And then he mentions groups like the Proud Boys and We Are Change and anti-vax groups. Like, they're the only ones organizing these things. So I ended up saying something to him, and this is the activist journalist playbook. It's associate a different perspective with extremism, lump them all together, poison the well, poison the bunch, and then the normal people are just coming out saying, I just think we should reopen. Now they're guilty by association with lunatics. And he responded back that, oh, you don't want to find out who's organizing these things? It's not activism. It's Dude, you're conflating protesters as extremists based on cherry-picking a Facebook event. One Facebook event that you found. So now all these people, and in his article he does cover this, he's like, most of them are these lunatics. Oh, there's probably some people that just normal folk who just came out that wanted to do that. It doesn't matter. You poisoned the well, dumbass. You're smearing good people just because you don't like them. And I noticed he didn't cover the protest that was about protesting DeSantis's unemployment website. That one didn't touch. So it's like, I don't think anybody's reading Creative Loafing for news. And if they are, they're just reinforcing their beliefs. But good God, what a hack. But I'm not going to pick on him anymore. I'm not going to mess with him because he is what he is. I mean, I know a lot of these people. I know Ray Roa. I know former editor Scott Harold. And Scott was, I'm friendly with Scott. Wasn't happy with how he treated me when we were, and I was doing his podcast for him. But I know Scott, he's a good guy for the most part. And, but he was very upfront. Like, we're not a centrist publication. We're pushing far left progressive ideas. I mean, fair enough. But then they wonder why these alt weeklies are going out of business. Because you alienate half your audience, dumbass. Hello?
Well, I don't understand. This is a dangerous time for...
No, dude. You guys are hacks. And you admit to it. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com is the website. Home_made_man is my social media handles on Instagram and Twitter. HMB Radio on Facebook. Follow Radio St. Pete as well. RadioSt.Pete.com on Facebook. Radio St. Pete on Twitter and Instagram. Radio STPETE.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioSt.Pete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by TruVSalonAndSpa.com. T-R-U-V is in victory. Y. SalonAndSpa.com. Eventually, this will be over, and you need your haircut desperately. I look terrible. I'm never looking good as it is. My hair, the back of my head, the hair is just growing into my neck. It just has this weird short mullet thing. I don't have a back of my neck. It's just this short, weird mullet thing. It's awful. I hate it. But unfortunately, this is what we got to deal with right now. But eventually, we will get out of this. And when we do, I need you to go to TruVSalonAndSpa.com. Go buy a gift certificate now so you can go get your hair cut later. Chrissy will do a great job for you, I promise. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Check her out, TruVSalonAndSpa.com. And also to Homemade Podcast. Homemade Podcast is a media consulting company. It's a company that I believe in because it's my company. If you're interested in podcasting but don't know how to begin, whether it's hardware, software, RSS feeds, any of that good stuff, you don't know what any of that is, well, I can help you. HomemadePodcasts.com. All right, this week on Stay Woke, Joe Biden, Democratic candidate for president, had some strong allegations thrown against him and finally just had to address them. It was too much. And he did, and he went on cable news and talked about them, and we talked about it on Stay Woke, which is a radio program I co-host with my friend Anna Hummel every night, every weeknight at midnight, only on 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay, theboneonline.com, if anywhere in the world, or you can get the Bone app, and also listen anywhere you want, and on demand, so get the Bone app, 102.5 The Bone, in the Google Play or iTunes Store. Let's check out this clip from Stay Woke.
In an amazing display of glory, Joe Biden. This was everything I wanted and more. It's one of those things where I knew it was going to be bad when he was questioned about the sexual assault allegations against Tara Reid. He addressed it today on, what was the program
called? Morning Joe.
Morning Joe. Yeah. And his name is Joe. And co-host Micah Brzezinski. Yeah. Interviewed him. And this is on MSNBC. So these are his people, his guys. You know, he's definitely not going to go on Tucker Carlson. Not going to happen.
No.
So he was interviewed by this woman and just asking simple questions. You know, apparently he was happy to release or approve a search of the National Archives. But he didn't want to open up the, apparently there's another set of records at the University of Delaware. Mm. And he was reluctant. He didn't want to release those records.
What?
And she was like, but why? If you've got nothing to hide, right. I don't see why this would be problematic. So she started asking him some questions. And again, I knew it was going to be bad. I knew that he was going to stumble. But here's the thing with Joe Biden. When you have dementia and Alzheimer's, and my grandmother had it, I saw it in real time, rehearsing doesn't matter, is what I'm saying. So, you know, usually with a normal, like, cognizant person of sound mind, when you rehearse things and when you practice, you tend to get better. But when you have Alzheimer's or dementia, seems like he's in the early to moderate stage of dementia, you know, sort of a thing.
Yeah.
When
I could just picture his handlers off screen, off camera, just biting their nails, just like shaking,
yeah,
glaring.
Yeah.
Nervous.
Fingers bleeding. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you can't, again, if you rehearse with someone that has, you know, mental deficiencies, it doesn't matter. So he was just asked simple questions about what was going on. She was giving them very underhandedly. She wasn't asking accusatorily. She was just saying, listen, we got to get this out because the people need and want to know. And he fumbled that ball so bad. But it was such a beautiful moment of hypocrisy, though. You know, not the actual video, but the reaction to it. I went on Twitter afterwards and there was a hashtag trending. I believe Biden, hashtag I believe Biden, I think it was. And I was clicking on it because I was just kind of seeing most of it was logical stuff like, oh, well, this is like the left's MAGA or whatever it is. Like, this is, what about Kavanaugh? Like, people were bringing up all the hypocrisy. But then there were some people that were steadfast and they were like, he, and then they quoted Biden and it was like, well, Biden said, quote, I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with it. It didn't happen. And they're like, he's innocent. Like that. I was like, what?
It's amazing. And I saw earlier in the week too, Stacey Abrams is campaigning hard to be the vice presidential pick.
Yeah.
She wants it bad, which is why she should not have it, by the way. Mm. But her excuse was, she was on, I think it was Jake Tapper. And he asked her, you know, about the allegations, and her response was bizarre because she said that, well, the New York Times looked into it and didn't find anything. The New York Times is a newspaper. It's not the FBI.
Right, it's not
law enforcement. That doesn't, like, can you imagine, like, okay, let's play it out. Let's put the shoe on the other foot. Fox News went in and cleared Trump of his allegations.
Right. That would never
fly. It doesn't work, right?
No, no.
So why does she get away with that? And what a terrible answer, by the way. And there's no way out of this because I have two of my best friends, love them to death. Mm-hmm. I remember speaking to them about during this Kavanaugh hearing. And I told them, I go, guys, well, they went, I don't understand why they just can't find somebody who doesn't have these allegations against him. Just, he should step aside and they could nominate somebody else.
With a clean record.
With a clean record. And I go, guys, they could just do it to the new one.
Right.
And I said, if you set this standard now, if you get your way here, you are going to have this used against you. You understand that, right?
These are the new rules.
Right.
Right.
When your guy comes along or your gal, most likely guy, something's gonna come up. Somebody can just accuse them, and then by your logic, you have to say they need to step aside. So I was very eager to ask the question to these two guys who said that Kavanaugh should step aside. Guys, I'm just curious to know, now that Joe Biden has been credibly accused of sex allegations with Tara Reid, do you believe that he should suspend his campaign and drop out of the presidential race? Didn't get any answer for a very long time. Mm. I asked again in a group text, and one of them acknowledged the comment.
What does that mean?
Huh?
What do you mean by that? Acknowledge
by
the
what?
Comment.
Oh, like liked. You know, you can like a comment.
Oh, like a
thumbs up type
thing.
And never responded to it.
Okay.
And then my other friend said, I saw your question. Yeah, I haven't got a chance to answer, but I've been thinking about it all day and never responded. So what they're trying to do is finagle their way out of this, tiptoe mm-hmm. their way out of this. And there is no way.
No.
There's no loophole. And by the way, nobody's holding Joe Biden to this standard. We're holding the people that wanted Kavanaugh thrown out because of the allegation. They're holding the press accountable because they have to stay consistent with their logic. Trump people, I think, and people on the other side said, well, he should have due process. And just like anybody accused of a crime should go through, you know, an investigation, whatever. And so it's not really holding Biden to this. Like, I believe Biden should not step aside over this. If he denies it.
Right.
By the way, there is a lot of circumstantial evidence with the Biden thing. There was
and
that,
it's more recent, too.
And it's more recent. You know, there could be files of this allegation
the
in the
King
1993, the Larry King call.
Yeah.
Like, if you remember Kavanaugh's thing, it was he at a party.
Like in 86.
Jumped on a girl on the bed, tackled her, and then she got up and ran away.
Yeah.
That was the allegation against him. Nothing about, you know, using your fingers on her or any of this other stuff.
It's way more incriminating, and there's way more evidence, and it's more recent, and they were both, I don't want to say adults, but, like, they were both, you know, they weren't, like, teenagers or whatever.
And there was nobody that would go on the record for Dr. Ford's allegation against Kavanaugh. Nobody could remember. She couldn't remember how she got there, how she got home.
Right.
Nobody recalls her being at the house. Nobody can recall that her and Brett knew each other. Like, there was a lot
of inconsistencies
with this one. There's a lot. There's a neighbor that's on record saying that Tara told her about this.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like they're Republican people who are just going after Joe Biden.
No,
like,
it's
they
her
are,
own staff. Yeah.
Right. She is a longtime Democrat. And I think the neighbor who said that Tara Reid told her this said she's still going to vote for Biden. Even though,
And I did see some interesting stuff. Like, I'm not like I have no horse in this race. I'm willing to look at everything. I did read an article just kind of about bizarre things about how she often like changed her name, and she was like always trying a very attention seeking person. And then they went through her like her Twitter history, and she did again. This doesn't clear him or clear her or anything like that. Just interesting stuff where it was like she was like. Like retweeting stuff that Biden had said, like in the last, like when he was VP, you know, so clearly after she was assaulted and then liking some of his things and supporting him online. And then a few years later, like comes out with, like, why would you be supporting your assailant, you know, after he allegedly assaulted you? Just weird stuff. Again, we need to clear it up. We need an investigation. But the thing that is most interesting to me and funny in a weird sort of way was Biden's stance during Brett Kavanaugh's hearing about believe all women. Yep. Oh, did that come back to bite you in the ass? Because that is an insane claim to believe all women. Because guess what? Bitches lie.
So do guys.
Listen, if you are female, you are part of the human race, and humans lie. Guys lie, gals lie, babies lie. Everybody lies. So you can't just say I believe this gender. It's ludicrous.
Yeah.
I lie every day of my life. Right. Every day. I'm on my way. You look great. This is fun. No, I enjoyed it. No, I don't mind. I like your music. This is great. No, play it again. Show me your selfie. Show me the photo of you at home. I want to see you and your family. That album was great. No! I lie every day of my goddamn life.
But that,
everybody does.
You're right, though. I mean, like, this... There, especially because, I mean, even holding it to the standard that people were giving Kavanaugh during this thing, that he should just step aside. But when you have him, his own words saying that the woman should be believed, period, should be given the benefit of the doubt. I mean, that quote is from Joe Biden.
I know.
He's accused of this.
He said, like, even if, like, the details aren't, like, 100% accurate, there's a reason why she's coming forward. There's a reason
she
why
she should be given the benefit. I retweeted it today because I was like, God damn.
It's
like,
just
this is
so. And it's less than what? 2 years later. Like,
Biden on whether Kavanaugh deserves the presumption of innocence. He said the woman should be given the benefit of the doubt and not be abused again by the system. I mean, it's just so clear. Like, you have to. He needs to step down if they're going with this logic, or they need to go, all right, that was nonsense, and let's go back to the classic due process way of doing things. That's the way we should.
No, and it's funny because they have it right now. You know what I mean? They didn't have it right before. Now they have it where everybody's calling for due process because, yes,
well,
but you should have had that from the get-go.
And I know where the argument's going to go to now. They're going to have to admit that Joe did some things that he shouldn't have done, right? But they're going to go, well, Trump raped Carol, that lady that says she has a semen sample with Trump semen on the dress, which, by the way, doesn't mean that he raped her.
No.
He could have just, you know,
finished
on her dress.
But
that's what they're going to say. They're going to say that, okay, well, our guy's bad, yours is worse. So I'll still go for the guy who's not as bad. At least he didn't rape anybody, technically. Even though technically he did, because if he used his fingers, that's rape.
Yeah. No, it still counts.
By definition.
Still counts.
But it's not his pee-pee. It's not his wiener.
Yeah.
So that's still not as bad. All right, our guy's bad. It's still not Trump.
It's pretty wild what the accusation is. And I have a little bit of it here. I know Johnny played it, but I want to play a little bit more for you. Here you go.
So personnel records aside, are you certain there was nothing about Tara Reid in those records? And if so,
I am absolutely certain.
Why not approve a search of her name in those records?
Let's see what he says.
Approve a search of her name.
Yes, and reveal anything that might be related to Tara Reid in the University of Delaware records.
There is nothing. They wouldn't. They're not there. And if they, I don't understand the point you're trying to make.
We just want you to answer the question why you won't release these records if there's nothing to hide, Joe.
The point I'm trying to make is
there are no personnel records by definition.
The point I'm trying to make is that you are approving and actually calling for a search of the National Archives records of anything pertaining to Tara Reid. I'm asking why not do the same in the University of Delaware records, which have raised questions because they were supposed to be revealed to the public and then they were sealed for a longer period of time. Why not do it for both sets of records?
Because the material in the University of Delaware has no personnel files. But it does have a lot of confidential conversations that I had with the president about.
Where he was bragging about taking his finger. Like, I could just imagine he's like telling the listen, Obama, you got to hear this. This is crazy. It was 93. It was the 90s. You know, not now. But yeah, I accidentally finger gate. Yeah, it was great. Good times.
About a particular issue that I had with the heads of state of other places that
he was also bragging about it to Putin and everybody else.
Not be something that would be revealed while I was in public office or while I was seeking public office. It just stands to reason. The best of my knowledge, no one else has done that either.
I'm just talking about her name, not anybody else in those records.
He looks so confused and defeated right now. He looks like he's in the middle of a silver alert. He doesn't know where he is, what's going on. It's really, really sad. Here's a little more.
A search for that.
Long pause.
Nothing classified.
God, that was
she tried
cringy.
To bail him out. Yeah. She tried to bail him out.
Yeah, I want to play that again. That's so cringy because it looked like he was about to say something and then he didn't, and then she was just like, we'll post this on the Stay Woke Facebook page. But here's the really awkward pause. It's beautiful and cringy at the same time.
Not anybody else in those records. A search for that. Nothing classified with the president or anybody else. I'm just asking why not do a search for Tara Reid's name in the University of Delaware records?
Look, I mean, who does that search?
What?
I mean, this is like my biggest fear that I have, or one of my biggest fears is like if we're on air, right?
Yeah.
And then there's just nothing, like you got nothing and you just bungee
blank.
Jump into your subconscious and you're free falling because there's just nothing and you're just scrounging for something to grab onto to break the silence, to say something.
Right.
That's what he's going through. And it's got to be a terrifying feeling. His stomach, his tum-tum is just in knots.
And it's not just like anything he's talking about, you know, where he could just be talking about some sort of policy. He's talking about like possibly like raping this woman with his fingers and he has nothing to say about it.
The University of Delaware, perhaps you set up a commission that can do it. I don't know. Whatever is the fairest way to create the most transparency.
Well, this is, look, Mika, she said she filed a report. She has her employment records still. She said she refiled a report with the only office that would have a report. in the United States Senate at the time. If the report was ever filed, it was filed there. Period.
If you could speak directly to Tara Reid about her.
Okay, I guess that's it. But yeah, that was so cringy. When I was so excited to watch it this morning, and then when I did, I went, oh, that was just as good and horrific as I had hoped and was planning on.
I mean, everybody knew it was going to be a train wreck because I think, and honestly, with this circumstantial evidence that's come forward with the Larry King call, there's something there. I think she did lodge a complaint back in 93, and I think if they look, it's going to be there. And again, doesn't mean that he did it. It just means that she filed the complaint. Like, he could possibly be innocent. And the president came out a few days ago and did they call him dumb all the time. A brilliant move. He said she could be lying in her claim because that puts them in a big-time predicament because either they're going to have to agree with President Trump on that, that maybe she's not telling the truth, or, again, they're stuck in their quagmire again because they accuse him of this stuff too and say, well, he's got allegations. He should step aside, and they did it to Brett Kavanaugh. And now, and everybody said, like, my buddies, I love them to death. But I told them, I go, guys, you're going to have to deal with it. If you want this standard, you're going to have to deal with it someday.
Yeah.
And now I just want them to say that's all I want. Ooh. Is I want them to say, yeah, you were right.
All right, well, keep us updated on that.
No, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. I know they won't even mention it.
Well, ask again. I'll ask. No, I'm not going to ask.
No, don't. It's not worth it. It's just because they don't live. I mean, they just go, I watch, you know, CNN, and that's where I get my news from. Like, they don't know. I don't want to pick on them too much, but I pick it on them because we had this conversation. And they're smart dudes, and they're logical people, and it was such an lot. Like, I couldn't get it through. I'm like, guys, don't you understand how this can be used against your people when you when they – and they just wouldn't – it was just Hail Mary, just like, yeah. And I think they did know. That's the thing. But they were just like, Hail Mary. Like, we're just going to go for it anyway. And see what happens, and it was a big-time failure. And now they have to live up to their own standards, and they can't do it.
Right, right. It is, it's so bizarre what's going on, the fact that he is eating his words right now. And Trump made the right move. Like, he didn't if he would have been I think Sleepy Joe did it. He said, listen, there's got to be an investigation, because don't we remember back in 2018, they were saying that about Kavanaugh, but now that it's your guy.
And Trump, too.
And Trump. Yeah. And Trump. Absolutely.
And
Trump.
By the way, could have done it. I mean, like, Biden could have done it. Trump could have done it.
Kavanaugh. We don't know.
But we don't know.
But we don't just assume that because a lady made a complaint or came forward that we just go ahead and believe her. We need to have an investigation. You know, that's how we protect everybody.
It was like Me Too was such a – that movement was so – I mean, it was the movement of the 2000s, I think, or the 2010s, anyways. Yeah. Like, that was a big cultural nuclear bomb that went off. And it did change things, and it did do a lot of good.
It did do a lot of good.
But it got corrupted by politics, really.
Most movements do, I feel.
It wasn't, yeah.
This one was speedy, but, like, even if you think about, like the 60s and civil rights and things like that, like, if you follow that through, obviously this was, like, decades and decades, but then you have things like Antifa and stuff like that. You know, that was the progression of that, where it's, like, they became so liberal, so progressive, that they almost became fascist in their fashion, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Right, so they are against fascists, but you can be fascist against the fascists.
Antifa is a political movement, though. It's on that spectrum. Like Me Too, I don't think was a political movement initially. It was just about stopping abuse against women.
No, but I'm just saying that when any sort of movement that just it starts with good intentions, civil liberties, what I was saying, like the civil rights movement, and then when you watch it unfold, and then sometimes it goes into a dark corner, which was like the Louis C.K. stuff. You know, obviously it wasn't good what he did, but putting him in the same category as Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby is just ludicrous.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm saying is, like, what do you call it? Like, you throw the baby out with the bathwater sort of a thing. Like, yeah, it was obviously a good movement. No one should feel, you know, like they're being harassed at work. And listen, every girl that I've ever come in contact with has had some sort of unwanted attention. And sometimes that's like, it's not assault or anything. It's just like a guy trying, and you're like, I don't like you. Dude, get away from me.
Like little Daniel.
Listen, right. Yeah. But and we've all had that at like bars and stuff like that. I mean, I talk about a situation that happened with me at the station I worked for in Detroit, where I had a superior that I would meet with, and it was a few times, and you know, sometimes other people would be there, sometimes it'd just be just us. We'd talk business, radio, whatever. And it was cool 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. I'd go in his office. He was cool. Everything was fine. And then one night he got too drunk there and it wasn't fine. And I felt really gross. And he asked to come back to my place. And I was in a real weird predicament because I knew that he was going to drive home wasted. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'm really, really drunk. And he's like, and he had to be at work at like, what, 6-7 in the morning the next morning. And I was going to be at work at that station. And he goes, like, I can't, like, I'm too drunk to drive. Like, I don't know. Can I stay at your place? Like, and he's, like, touching my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling, and he's, like, I don't know, 18, 20 years older than me. Like, I'm not okay. And I just, and in that moment, I just go, I'm not your mommy. Like, I just figured it out. I was like, I can't. I was like, I got to go. And I just left. And I felt really gross. And then I went into the work the next day and it was never mentioned and I never said anything. And that's how it lives today. Like,
right. Right. So. And you know, this, and I think hopefully the benefits and positives of the Me Too movement do live on, which is in my mind is if something happens that's illegal, that women should absolutely come forward with. Don't be afraid to come forward with it.
Yeah.
You know, I hope, but the Me Too movement is dead. This Joe Biden thing killed Alyssa Milano, all those people that are in the front lines of this thing. Mm. I can't take them seriously anymore. They can't live by their own standards when it's their people. And I never in a million years thought that that movement would be sacrificed for Joe Biden of all
one
people.
Of the alleged proponents of the movement itself.
All right, there we go. Stay Woke Midnight's 102.5 The Bone. And I got to go. I'm way over time here. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate it. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you so much. Tell a friend about it. Retweet my stuff. Follow me on social media, home_made_man. Go get a gift certificate from Truvy Salon and Spa. Get some meals from NTT Fitness. Talk to you next week or Monday or Tuesday, whatever day it is. At midnight on 102.5 The Bone. My name is Will Koontz. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. See ya.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.